Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
For 75 years, Giro has been doing the same highly repetitive manual work. Since he was about 10, this 85-year-old man has spent most of his waking hours arranging little pieces of raw fish onto compressed balls of sticky rice. You might think he'd have got tired of it by now, but no, Giro loves his job more than anything else in the world. In Giro Dreams of Sushi, David Gelb's admiring documentary, we see the chef stare straight at the camera and say with grim earnestness, "I feel ecstatic every day. When I make sushi, I feel victorious." The film, with its lascivious shots of fish, is all about the purity of work. We're meant to think that Giro is weird but wonderful. He obsesses over every scrap of fish. He hates holidays and is only absent for funerals and emergencies. His sushi restaurant, in a grotty subway in Tokyo that seats only 10 along a thin counter, is perhaps the finest in the world and has won 3 Michelin stars. But Giro is not interested in expanding. He cares only for perfection. "I'll continue to climb until I reach the top," he says, "but no one knows where the top is." To see someone strive so hard at something should be uplifting. But the more I watched, the more revolted I became. At one point, he inspects a bucket of octopus and explains how he used to get his assistants to massage the tentacles for 30 minutes, but then found that if they did it for 20 minutes longer, the taste was better in some subtle way that I didn't quite get. Watching this, I flipped. Such striving is completely mad. Giro, or anyone else batty enough to aim for perfection in their work, isn't a force for good. Such obsession comes with a dark underside. In Giro's case, this isn't hard to find. His childhood was of an extreme hard knocks variety. The son of a bankrupt drunk, he was kicked out of home at the age of 9 to make his own way in the world. In turn, Giro has forced his 2 sons to spend 5 decades in fish, setting them up for failure in a fight to compete with their sushi-mad dad. "There is nothing I can do to top him," one says in a resigned sort of way, all fight knocked out of him. But Giro himself is unbending. "You must dedicate your life to mastering your skill," he says, eyes unblinking through round, rimless glasses. I draw the opposite conclusion. You must under no account dedicate your entire life to mastering a skill, particularly if the end result is a mere mouthful of rice and fish. There are too many other interesting or pleasurable or worthwhile things to be doing instead. I felt the same sense of repulsion and waste reading about Olympic gold medalist Victoria Pendleton. Thanks to her recent venting in the Sunday Times, we now know that becoming the fastest woman cyclist in the world has had a very dark side indeed. She describes herself as a skinny 15-year-old trying to keep up with her cyclist father, tormenting herself with the thought, "He doesn't love me." Her response to success, when it came, was darker still, to cut herself with a Swiss Army knife. Both in sushi and in cycling, and in almost every other area, we celebrate freakish success. We hand out gold medals and Michelin stars, but blind ourselves to the madness that goes with such striving. A hunger for perfection in most things is grotesque, distorted, and unbalanced. Last week, I was cycling through London, rather slowly as it happens, with one of my own daughters in tow, and we went past a building that said, "Good Enough College," in large writing across the door. It turns out to be a residential hall for postgraduate students, named after a long-ago chairman of Barclays Bank. At first, I thought what an unfortunate name this was for an academic institution, but then, calling up the image of Giro and Pendleton, I thought again. Good Enough College isn't a bad name. It's a good one. To be good enough is, well, good enough. In most things, being good enough requires quite a lot of effort. More recently, CEOs of Barclays haven't been nearly good enough. Nor have most other bankers, or most workers, or most products, or, come to that, most newspaper columnists. And most universities are nowhere near good enough either. They're increasingly places where students emerge with a lot of debt, having suffered more wear and tear on their livers than on their brains. And as for sushi, at least in London, the day it becomes good enough really will be a day to celebrate. At Eat, my local sandwich chain, the sushi is quite revolting.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.